Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you NBA champion, our Odyssey NBA insider, Danny Green. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
I would be doing great if you could tell us how to make sure that the Mavericks don't start off incredibly slow in the first quarter to quarter and a half.
Well, I expect Luka to have a better game to start. I mean, he started off not as efficient, ended up playing better. But, you know, they just need to find scoring. Kyrie scored more in the second half. They seem to be a second-half team. But on the road, I expect those two guys to play better. And the other guys just got to keep finding scoring. So without Kawhi, I don't see Clippers being able to keep up the scoring they've had. And I just don't see James and PG having the same game that they had the other night. Now, one of them will, but both of them I don't see happening. So I think you guys are in pretty good shape right now.
I realize probably nobody is all the way healthy at this point, but does Luka look banged up to you at all? Because he won't use that as an excuse, but we've kind of talked about, does he seem maybe a little off?
He looks a little bit. I mean, sure, everybody's a little banged up. I think that maybe he's run out of gas more so. So that's where I see it. I don't know if it's injuries, but it does look like, you know, because early on, first three games, you know, even the defensive side of the ball, he was a lot more locked in. And that's because I think maybe fresh-minded, fresh legs, they had that week off from playoffs, week off before the play, like with the play-in and before playoffs started. So I'm expecting him, said if he can pick it up, but it said looks like he's run out of gas, but I expect him to play better offensively and defensively to where he was, you know, making plays. Like he was there when he needed to be in the right place at the right time. Also not letting James get to the basket and get easy floaters. So, we'll see what happens. But I said, well, for me, I think you guys are in really good shape. They're more banged up than anybody, and they're having some really good scoring nights and shooting efficiently from guys that it's going to be hard to upkeep for a seven-game series.
Danny Green, when it comes to coaches talking to their superstar players about taking fouls early in the game, the Mavericks obviously ran into a major issue yesterday when Luka picked up his fifth foul and then kind of had to disengage defensively. Kyrie has gotten in foul trouble in this series a little bit because early on in the game he's decided maybe not to have Zubac just have a layup or a dunk. Do coaches talk to their superstars and say, hey, just go ahead and let them have the layup in the first quarter so I don't find you in foul trouble later in the game?
I don't think they have to have those conversations. Most superstars know and understand the game. Sometimes you can't control how the referee's called in the game. But I doubt we see Kyrie in that type of foul trouble again, or Luka. They know what's at stake. They know how important they are to the group. Usually said in younger years, they'll tell star players, like, you know, Anthony Edwards is young enough, and you see him telling Karl Anthony Towns, like, you stop fouling. So if he understands that at 22, I'm sure Kai and Luka understand it as well. So it's usually young guys that compete and try to stop, you know, every possession, try to be, you know, the desire to want to play really good defense. And they do too, but sometimes you got to let it go for the good sake of the, you know, good of the group and for you to keep you on the floor longer. So I said, I don't see them doing that again. And I said, you guys are in really good shape.
How long did it take you to understand and adjust to the officiating on a night-by-night basis? Because obviously you'll see some tighter officiating, looser officiating. But, like, so how long does that take to figure out once a game starts?
I don't think I ever figured it out, to be honest with you, man. I wasn't one of those guys. You know, usually they let certain guys get away with more physicality. You know, I was a defensive player, but I was never one of the guys that they let get physical, be physical. You know, PJ Tuck can get into people, Pat Bev can get into people. You know, I wasn't one of the guys that they let. And certain superstars said, if superstar and superstar, they let more calls go. You know, when we had a series, we had Kawhi guarding Giannis. Before it was like Pascal or somebody else, and he would get in foul trouble. But if, you know, Kawhi's guarding, it's like, all right, they're less likely to call a foul. They're going to let these guys go at it a little bit more. So you usually don't see it on superstars. But for me, like I said, it was hard to dictate. It was hard to be mature enough. I said, I would always try to figure it out. But I said, if I'm guarding Kobe, they're going to, I don't get the benefit of the doubt. If I'm guarding KD, you know what I'm saying? If I'm guarding certain superstars, it don't matter who I am. You know, I never got the benefit of the doubt. I just had to figure it out as the game went on. And a lot of times it was fouls that I couldn't control. So, but for certain, for most guys, it probably takes, you know, a couple of years or so to see it out, you know, your first 2 or 3 years. After that, they should be mature enough to know, especially superstars.
We were listening a little bit to the J.J. Redick podcast earlier, and he was a little bit confused about the final about 2 minutes of the Mavericks' defense of allowing James Harden to kind of just beat the guy up at the top one-on-one and kind of have an uncontested layup three times in a row. Obviously, Kyrie tried to contest, and then it was an and-one situation. What were your thoughts as it was a very tight game there that they didn't double James Harden and allowed him to go one-on-one for three layups in a row?
I mean, James is very good. He's still very skilled to score the ball. But for me, it's like they played really good defense previous times. I think they'll make the adjustments. You know, usually back in the day, it was like, don't let James get a three, you know, and you give up the floater because his floater is still good, but it's not as efficient as a step back three. I think they'll adjust that to like saying, all right, at this time of game, we'd rather have James taking a step back three contested, you know, and don't let him get to the lane because that's when he is getting efficient shots at the rim and also making teams for other, plays for other guys. So I think they'll make that adjustment. But yeah, we'll see. So usually, so James is, he's a very good player, and people still, I would say, not underrate him, but they overlook him and don't think that he's able to score. He's still very capable of scoring high numbers, but you have to limit him and try not to let him get to the paint or let him do, you know, or feel comfortable out there anyway. So we'll see what Dallas does, man. It'll be interesting. J-Kid, he's not no dummy. He knows what he's doing.
Would it have mattered in that situation for James Harden if Daniel Gafford or Derek Lively would have been around the rim?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't think so. We said his floater, I don't think those guys are getting it either way.
Okay.
They might challenge a little better, but I think it matters more if you make more resistance. It's too easy of a straight line drive. You know, those drives are very easy and he's getting clean looks. It's like his, you know, he's taking workout shots basically. If he has to veer off a little bit more and not get straight line, then it's a little bit harder to get the angles he wants with the clear looks at the rim, more physicality. So, that would make a difference, and yeah, for sure, length would help. But so he's mastered that floater pretty well.
You know, Kyrie said after the game, he said, you know, there's a series now. We know what they are. We know everything about them now. Expects game five to be a high level chess match. Is that because around after four games, you've pretty much done everything, you've seen everything from your opponent? Do you expect any more tricks up the sleeve from these teams?
For sure.
We're going to have to reconnect with talent. You real quick.
Here we go.
Oh, there we go. We got you again.
You got me?
Yeah, we lost you. You said for sure.
You said for sure.
And I was pumped I said, about that.
For sure. Like the first couple games are feelers. You know what I'm saying? It's like trying to see who is what. And obviously, I'm saying it's all based off talent. But a lot of those games are one of, you know, kind of, you know, Richard Jefferson had a good take of, you know, the person who loses the first game has the upper hand because they know what adjustments they need to make. But yeah, by game three or four, is when both teams know each other well enough and adjustments, all the adjustments can be made. Now it's about what players are going to step up and make the plays of, you know, what team is giving up what. So it's a back and forth chess match type of thing. Games one and two are more feelers and guys just kind of who's going to show up and play big and who's going to outwork the other team and out execute for the 48 minutes.
Now across the rest.
Game five, especially at game five, it's probably more of a said, who's going to, what adjustments are made and who's going to show up. It's definitely a chess match of coaching when it comes down to these games. When you get the 5, 6, and 7, that's what it comes down to.
Minnesota does not have to worry about, for now, games 5, 6, or 7. Not that Anthony Edwards wasn't great already, but do you feel like with this playoff run, first time Minnesota's ever been up 3-0, so the first time they've ever swept a team, Anthony Edwards has just announced himself to the world as a superstar.
I mean, he's been that, I think, before this series. But, yeah, they're very good, man, and I'm interested to see how they – I mean, I don't want to think too far ahead or predict that Denver's going to win, but I have a pretty good feeling that they might be moving on. So it's going to be interesting to see that matchup of Minnesota and Denver together in the next round. But, you know, he's going to really show it next round of what he's capable of and who he is. Each round it gets tougher, it gets better, and, you know, you learn from it. Last year he wasn't able to get – he's never been to this part in his career, so – we'll see how he reacts to that. And more than likely, I think we all know he's ready and he's prepared for this moment.
Do I have to be concerned at all about their coach going on the injured list after he tore a knee tendon?
Yeah, that's a concern, man. I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully, he doesn't have to get surgery until after the fact. But he probably will be on the sideline with crutches and a knee brace. I know knee injuries well, so that doesn't look too good.
Did you ever see anything like that happen with a coach in a game you were in?
No, I mean, I've seen some things happen, but not like a player take out out the coach and a serious knee injury that happened. You know, I've seen some coaches maybe get lightheaded and not feel well. You know, Coach Williams had vertigo, so, you know, that type of situation. But I don't think I've ever seen a knee injury happen to a coach in the game while being on the sideline coaching.
If you had to take one coach into a fight with you, which coach are you taking?
Oh, man, I think that's probably Pop. Probably Pop. You know, he's probably the most fiery coach. I mean, I thought I had some pretty good coaches. They're definitely fire. Coach Williams is definitely one of them. My high school coach, Tim Clues, and then Pop, for sure, that has coached me in the league. There's a couple of guys that I believe in, but Pop, you know, I've seen him get ready to get down in the playoffs with some fans that have, you know, talking some trash to him.
Out of the teams that have either lost in the play-in or are going to lose in the first round, Phoenix has lost in the first round, what team do you think is going to have to make the most major adjustments to their team in the offseason?
This summer, I think Phoenix is going to be the team, man. Honestly, everybody else I think just needed to get healthy and get, you know, the ones that were injured, like Sacramento, needs to get healthy. You know, Memphis wasn't in that, but when they get healthy, they're going to be something to, you know, be reckoned with. New Orleans is going to be a team to be, you know, even though they're still in the playoffs right now. But if they lose, they're going to be really good once they're healthy. But when you look it down the board and you look at teams like that need to make some real changes this summer, it's going to be Phoenix, and most likely Phoenix. Other people are looking at L.A. I think L.A. has a good core, a good group. I just think they got the wrong matchup in the first round. But I think Phoenix has a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of movement of what's going to happen next, and how, because they have no picks for the next couple of years, and they have some contracts that are tough to change, move, and get build pieces around. So they're going to have to figure out a lot of things.
And we always appreciate your insight. And hopefully when we talk with you next week, we're talking about the second round and getting ready for that with the Mavs.
For sure. Appreciate you guys, man. I'll see you guys next week. Good luck.
Sir. There you go. Danny Green.
I was going to ask him about Zeke.
Insider, thank God.
No, you weren't. You weren't going to. What was he going to say about Ezekiel Elliott? That you, like, he's like, ooh. I ran across that one time.
You know what he might have said?
17-0.
Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped for adventure.
Proud of you, man. Yeah! I really had no clue where you were going with that, and then you turned that into a spot.
If you don't get the bye in the first round for the Cowboys, how many wins do you need for
Corey,
the
do you
season?
Have NFL news for us?
21. No more champagne problems, according to Ian Rappaport. The Chiefs and All-Pro and Pro Bowl tight end Travis Kelce have agreed to part what terms?
Oh, my God.
To terms on a new two-year contract extension to make him the highest paid NFL tight end, sources say.
Who has more rushing yards?
Patrick Mahomes quote tweeted this and said, I told y'all I'd never let him leave. Congrats, my guy.
So, he'll leave before Patrick Mahomes' career is over.
I would assume that is accurate.
Well, we got Zeke.
Well, and Jack Leiter was named AAA round or Pacific Coast League Pitcher of the Week for April 22nd through the 28th after his amazing outing last week.
And Candace Parker retired. 16 years, 2 MVPs, 3 WNBA titles. Hell of a career right there.
She's a very good analyst, too.
I really thought you were about to go, is her career as good as Zeke's? I really thought that's where you're going.
Well,
my
answer
would
no.
be, yes, yes, it definitely was.
Who made more money?
Well, that wasn't the question. Where the Canes,
after 3 years, he was able to go to Mexico and have the Jones family give in for no reason at all. But now the Jones family questions us as a media about it.
Do you think Zeke played in any of those preseason baseball games down there in Mexico in the prison?
I know he wasn't working out that hard. He might have been eating with the prisoners.
Good Lord.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.